This message comes to you from the pulpit of Ebenezer Primitive Baptist Church in Westover, Alabama. More information at ebenezerpbc.org.
Pray for me, if you will, as we go through. This will be the fourth week that we've gone through the first chapter of James. And just to bring to remembrance briefly what we've gone through so far, James is writing to the Lord's church in Jerusalem, and primarily the Jews, which are scattered about, and they soon would be greatly scattered about. This was about 60 or 62 A.D., according to Josephus, and we know what happened in A.D. 70. They were totally destroyed. This is the brother of the Lord writing to the people of the nation of Israel that God, by His Spirit, had brought into the church of God. Remember, that generation was blinded. These are those that were not blinded. These are those that God brought into the New Testament church. He talked about temptations and why we should consider it a joy to suffer temptation, because we are afflicted and we are persecuted. We have tribulations because we are a child of God, and Satan has come down. He knoweth that he hath but the short time, according to Revelation 12. And he seeks to devour the seed of the woman, the church, the bride of Christ. He's come down with great wrath. He walks about as roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We know Satan cannot devour us eternally, for Christ died for us to have eternal life, to be with God forever, to be made holy without blame before God the Father in love, and to live in a place, a world prepared of God for us, where sin and death will never again come. Nothing can take that away. The book is about temporal living. The book is about worshiping God. He's talking to some Jewish people, and they had quite a different knowledge under the law, which they had been taught, and by which their forefathers had corrupted the law, than what they were now going to hear in the gospel, the truth, the salvation is of the Lord. He talks about being a double-minded man, to ask God of faith, let your eye be single, look to God. I'll tell you, I said last week, a double-minded man, an evil, wicked man in the nature of man cannot be double-minded, because their eye is set on one thing and one thing only, and that is wickedness and evil by their nature. Only a child of God can be double-minded, because God quickens the spirit, God gives them life, God causes them to seek after Him, and Satan, seeking to devour, tries to pull them away. The flesh against the spirit. A double-minded man is unstable in his ways. Keep your eyes set on God. And last week we talked about, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. James tells us that we're drawn away by our own lust, the result of sin, the way it's affected our mind, the way it's affected our body, the way it's affected our soul. We see the result of sin in the world. We see the reigns that we've had. God's original design was not to reign. Reign became because of sin. Everything changed because of sin. Our nature changed when Adam fell in sin. They're not God's lust. They're not God's temptations. God does not tempt man. God will test a man, but God does not tempt man. Neither can he be tempted with evil. Our lust, or just that, our lust. From our own nature, from our own soul, from our own being. And the wages of sin are death. When lust conceives, it brings forth sin. When sin is finished, it brings forth death. We all must die unless we're alive on the day the Lord returns. And he says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't blame sin on God. Don't blame temptations on God. Remember what he started off talking about. Pray, seek wisdom, look to God. God will bring you through these temptations and these trials and things that's so rampant here in this world. Then he said, every good gift, what is a good gift? God provides our food. God provides our clothing. God provides the air that we breathe. God provides everything in this world that we need. What is a perfect gift? The Spirit of God, which gives you life. What is a perfect gift? The kingdom of God, the church of the living God, founded upon the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What is a perfect gift? The ministry, as God ordained it. Doesn't mean the minister can't fail. The minister's flesh and blood. But the gift of the ministry is perfect. It's a gift from God to the man he calls to preach. And it's a gift from God to the people he preaches to, because he is to teach them of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's to preach the gospel, which brings life and immortality to light. It does not give life. It teaches you of the life of God. God does not change. There's neither any variableness nor shadow of turning. And we come to verse 18 is where we will start today. I wish that all people who seek God would take heed to this verse and understand it, especially those who teach the Bible, whether it's a mother teaching children, whether it's a father, we're Southerners, a daddy teaching family, or whether it's a minister teaching the congregation. I wish every child of God could understand these words and heed them. It's plain and simple. Satan beguiles, as he did Eve. Satan deceives. Satan takes the simple, plain truth and complicates it by trying to change it, as he did with Eve. Thou shalt not surely die. When God had plainly told her, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Plainly told them. Listen to the words of truth. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. There is nothing there at all that we had anything to do with. It was not our work. It was not our choice. It was not, we were not even able to do so. Simple text of proof. John chapter 1. We find, beginning in verse 10, after he speaks of creation, of the new creation, the kingdom, the children of God, a new creation in Christ. He was speaking of Christ, speaking of the Word, the living Word, which is Christ. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. If you had the ability to bring salvation, or thought you did, this alone is enough, taken as a fact. Even if you want to use not faith, but just plain scientific logic, which many would have you to have, this is enough to disprove every false wind of doctrine. He, God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6, Jesus Christ, was in the world. He came into this world. Hallelujah! Accept Him, receive Him. And the world was made by Him. He created all things. But what does it say? They rejoiced greatly? No. We were dead in sin. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And that entails the entirety of the world, and that entails the children of God in nature. Knew not God. Let's go a little further. He came unto His own. Those of Israel, those of Judea. What did they do? They ridiculed Him, they hated Him, they reviled Him, they nailed Him to a cross. And God suffered that as a means to redeem His people from their sins, because the Lamb of God would lay His life down as a sacrifice. He came unto His own. This is His people. This is the nation of Judea. People say, well, you know, I don't want to get into that. That's going to lead me astray to another text, and I want to stick with this one. Suffice it to say from Romans 9, all Israel is not Israel. Every one of Israel is not a child of God, and there are children of God outside the nation of Israel and always have been. But for the sake of the text, to prove our inability, He came into His own received Him not. If those who are the same blood and lineage of David back to Abraham could not accept or receive Him, how in the world could we who were Gentiles and without God in the world, strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, how in the world, looking by logic, as a scientist would, how in the world could we dare think we could? Let's go a step farther. But as many as received Him, Christ, told you before, the word received here does not mean you chose to take Him as your personal Savior. The word received here means to lay hold of or on and embrace as an intimate family member, as a brother. To grasp a hold of the Lord as Israel or Jacob at the time did with the angel when he wrestled and would not let go until the breaking of the day. Seeking God. Who are they? But as many as received Him, to them gave He power. Christ gave the power. God gave the power to become sons of God. Well, that's not challenging the text in James. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. Let's finish it. Let's not leave it there where so many do. How did God, but as many as received Him, gave He power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on His name? How does God give you that power? And it comes from God. Whereunto, 2 Thessalonians 2:13, For we are bound always, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning, before the foundation of the world, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of spirit, belief, the truth. That is the work of God. Verse 14. Here is how we become sons of God. After we have sanctification of the Spirit, after God reveals Himself, causes us to be born of the Spirit, and gives us faith, gives us knowledge of Himself, a fruit of the Spirit, through sanctification the Spirit and belief the truth, whereunto He called you. Who called you? God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul said, for ye see your calling, brethren. God calls us to Him by His Spirit. But there is a second calling. Used this at Liberty last week. Whereunto He called you by our gospel. Why do we preach the gospel? He tells you, to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. God calls you by His gospel. That is His work. He gives the gift to the minister. He gives the gift of knowledge in revelation. That's how He gives us power. Those who are born of the Spirit, to manifest ourselves as the sons of God. We hear, we listen, we obey, and we walk with God, and it's manifested to other children of God, and it's manifested to the world that we are God's people and God is glorified. Now, back to the text. Who are those people which were born not of blood? It didn't come through Adam, it didn't come through Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. It didn't come through me or my daddy or any other man upon the face of the earth. It didn't come through blood. It came because Christ shed His blood. But you weren't born because of blood. You weren't born because of the will of the flesh, because man cannot pray or bring salvation to anyone or anything. God is the only creator and giver of life, nor of the will of man. I can will someone to join the church. And we're told to make disciples, and we ought to will that. But only the Spirit of God is going to touch the heart in such a way that they're wanting to do so. Let's go farther than that. Now, God adds to the church daily, and our obedience has a lot to do with that. God adding. But let me say this before moving on down. The will of man has saved no one. I cannot bring a body from the grave. That is the will of God. These people who believe and hear the gospel, these people who are born again because life must precede action, and then hear the gospel and take up their cross and serve the Lord, they're born not of the will of man, but of God. They are born of God. What did Jesus say in John chapter 3? As he told Moses, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. My children came from my wife and I in the likeness of our sinful flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We're adopted into the family of God because by His own will begat He us with the word of truth. By God's own will, God caused us to be born of the Spirit of God. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of God. You cannot see God's work. You cannot see what God does. You can't see God. We'll see Jesus one day. There were men here on the face of this earth that did see Him when He was alive, but we have never seen Christ with our eyes. We see Him by an eye of faith. One day we shall see Him in eternal glory. And that is our hope. That is our earnest expectation. Because God hath given it to us. That's part of faith. We can't see God. We can't see God perform His work as far as the action. But we see the result. We see evidence that one is born again by the Spirit of God. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, the Spirit of God. John chapter 5. He being Christ, the Father, the everlasting Father, God in the flesh. For John 5:21, for as the Father raiseth up the dead, and God will raise up the dead to a day of judgment. He is the judge of the quick and the dead. And He will judge according to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Acts 17 will prove that. But as the Father raiseth up the dead, and there is not one who has ever been who will not be raised up, but as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, giving that body life. And He tells us on down further about those in the grave, beginning in verse 28. Some will come forth to life and eternal glory with Christ, and some will come forth to life and eternal torment in the lake of fire. But the point in the text that I'm using is, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son, Christ, Jesus Christ, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. I pray every night that God would bring His children into His church. I pray every night that God would grant, turn us to Him, give us repentance, and give us conversion. I do not pray for God to give anyone eternal life. That is the work of God and God alone, period. It's His choice. It's His decision. We'll prove that in just a moment. For by His own will begat He us with the word of truth. But my point with this context is that God will quicken the body and Christ quickens the soul. For the Father judgeth no man, speaking of ruling over us here in this world, and speaking of judgment. God will judge, but He's judging through Christ and by Christ because His people stand in Christ. That all men, the Father judgeth no man, but have committed all judgment unto the Son. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which has sent Him. We'll get to that in just a moment. Verily I say unto you, here's my point. He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me. If you hear, if you believe, what does He say? Hath, present tense, everlasting life. You're already born of the Spirit of God. For it by His own will He begat us with the word of truth. God gave us life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Verily, verily, I said to you, the hour is coming now is when the dead, those dead in their trespasses and sins, this is what James is talking about, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Who are they? He tells us, for as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man, because He was born in the flesh and suffered, bled, and died. Finish this part. Of His own will, of His own will, begat He us with the word of truth. John 6, you've heard this many times from me. 38. Well, let me go up to 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You can't lose eternal life. You can't be taken from God. Satan and all the devils in hell cannot take you from God. All the Father giveth me shall come to me. How does He do that? By His own will, He hath begotten us with the word of truth, the Spirit of God. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, for I came down from heaven, this is about His will, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, zero, absolutely nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And here's a little something extra. And this is the will of Him that has sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, if you see Him, He revealed Himself to you, and believeth on Him, belief is a fruit of the Spirit, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Let's go back to James. Of His own will, God's own will, He, Christ, begat us with the word of truth. Christ is the living word, which became flesh and dwelt among us. Christ is the everlasting Father, manifest in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. Of His own will, He begat He us with the word of truth. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the gift of eternal life, the knowledge of God, Christ. Why? What's the purpose? This book is about worshiping God. This book is about, speaking of James, to the Jews, remember the self-righteousness they had been taught and led astray, the lust of the world, the gold, the silver, many doctrines today do that. You can go to some of these churches that cover a city block and see 5,000 people there hearing how God promised you to be rich. The riches of God is in the knowledge of God, and very few will deny themselves enough to enter in that straight gate and obtain it. And you do obtain it when you walk with God. That's the point of this. that we, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. First fruits. First fruits. Let's look at first fruits. The children of God were to bring their first fruit to the Lord for sacrifice. God sent us his first fruit. God sent us, meaning his best, Jesus Christ. The church in the world, the apostles, the first century church was called the first fruits because they were the first ones. They were the ones who first trusted in Christ. We are the first fruit of God today because in this world of God, time, in this world of sin and darkness, we are first in the sense of going before others who do not understand. Now, I'm not telling you God only has a certain number of people and a certain people and elect that will come into the church. That's fatalism. That's a lie. Every child of God born of the Spirit has the ability to hear the gospel and come unto God and serve God. But self gets in the way. The world gets in the way. What is he preaching to these people who had been taught self their whole life? About the temptations and the things of the world that they had faced. The things that Satan used to drag them astray. The text is about worshiping God. Many children today carried away in such nonsense and lies. In that sense, we're the first fruit before them. How is that? Because when this world is over, every single child of God that God gave, the Father gave to the Son, will be with him in glory and bring forth fruit unto God in rich praises. Let me give you a text to prove that. Revelation 7. We see in great symbolism the church. And I've not spent a whole lot of time on this part just to prove my point. Verse 3, speaking of the destruction of Jerusalem and the church and the law of service, he says, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed in 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." Now, I don't care if you think about this as just being the lost sheep of Israel that were in that day that God brought into the church. I don't care if you think about this as the New Testament church, which is how I see it. The point is, there's only 144,000. How many children of God, including every denomination in the world, combined as one, seek God? Compared to the number that will be in eternal glory, just a thread. You can count the people in all congregations. You can look on the internet and find, well, this has so many. The Catholics, the Methodists, the Baptists, they all have just so many. And come up with a close number, it will not compare to the number that God said would be an eternal glory that could not be numbered as the sands of the seashore and as the stars of the sky. And there's over 30 billion stars in this universe alone. And there are other universes. Can't be numbered. Again, to prove the text of first fruit, Revelation 14, "And I looked, and lo, a Lamb," this is Christ, "the Lamb of God, stood on the Mount Zion," that's the kingdom of God, "and with him 144,000, the same ones we see in Revelation 7. Just a few of God's children, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. Why? Because God will not be left without witness. This world is sin. This world is darkness. This world is corrupt. It will be destroyed. Yet God keeps a people in this world for his service. Could it be greater? Yes, if those are us, of us which are in the kingdom would pray and do the things we're supposed to, then God may add a few more. That's His prerogative. He is the Creator. But we do know the Lord adds daily such as should be saved. Go to the point. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voices of harpers harping with the harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne. These are the men who were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women. That means pagan gods, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. These are disciples of Christ. This is the true church in its identity. Not following the winds of doctrine. This is the few, the very few, the remnant, the thread of God's children that He keeps for His glory and grace in this world to bear witness unto Him as a people. It may be here today. It may be in Africa tomorrow. We do not know. But I pray it's here. If we desire it and seek first the kingdom of God, which is what James is telling the Jews there in James, it will last longer here and may be here until the Lord comes back. Let's go back to the text now. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits here in this world. First fruits. We serve God by His grace, by His glory, by His mercy. First fruits. One day in eternal heaven there will be all God's children. But here we're first fruits of His creatures. And yes, you are a creature. You know, you see the Andy Griffith episode where Barney calls Ernest T. Bass a creature. He says, "Don't call me a creature. We're all creatures. We're created of God." Then he says, "Wherefore?" Because this happened. Because God did this. Because God gave you life. Because God had mercy and grace. Because God had a purpose. Because God sent His Son. Because God quickened you and gave you life that you should serve Him. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, that's not the world, that's disciples, that's the church. Let every man be swift to hear. Boy, this is a hard one. This is a hard one. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Ecclesiastes 5. The words of Solomon. Let me get there. Verse 1. This is also about worship. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. Walk straight. Enter the straight gate. And be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Regarding worship, come ready to hear. Pray to hear. Pray to be giving a hearing ear, grace to hear. Be ready to more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice to fools. What kind of sacrifice do fools make? What is James telling the Jews over here about all their self-righteousness? What do we hear in the world today preached by men deceiving the children of God? You've got to do, you've got to do, you've got to do. Salvation is plainly of the Lord Jesus Christ. By His own will begat He us with the word of truth. Don't make sacrifices of what I could have done or what I can do. I could do nothing but die. It is of the grace of God that I do not die and spend my entire eternity, whatever that would be, in the lake of fire. But He saved us from the wrath to come. Be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. They don't know. They don't consider it. They think they're doing the will of God. Saul, thought he was doing the will of God when he was persecuting the church. But wasn't he changed when God, by His own will, begat him with the word of truth? Be not rash with thy mouth. Be slow to speak. And let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Now we have gifts of ministry. We have to teach. We're told in the Bible to teach. Mothers teach your children. Fathers teach your family. Minister teaches the church. By God's grace we succeed. By our works we fail. That's why we strive to keep to the Bible as God gives. But listen, speaking of coming before God and offering the sacrifice of lips, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Remember the old man smote his chest, God be merciful to me, a sinner. For God is in heaven. Beyond this vast expanse of stars and planets, God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, like a worm. Therefore, let thy words be few. Someday we'll come back and go through some more of this, because it's beautiful. But for the sake of time, I'm going to move a little bit. Chapter 10 of Proverbs, to make a point, verse 19. You can back up a few. It talks about lying lips. And he that utters slander is a fool. The lips, the mouth of the wicked. Why we should not utter things but be slow. Swift to hear but slow to speak. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many. But fools die for want of wisdom. When we speak, be swift to hear. Hear God's word. Slow to speak and slow to wrath. Brings us to another point in worship, because worship is to love each other as God loved us. We don't worship by the law. We worship by the fulfilled law. Love is the fulfilling of the law. We are flesh. We have disagreements. We have arguments, whether church, whether family, even society, and even in the workplace. But my point is concerned with church and family, because those are institutions of God. Thy brother is angry against thee. We'll read Matthew 18, but let's stay with this text. Swift, be swift to hear. We know not what is on a man's heart or a woman's. I say man, meaning mankind. I don't know what's on my brother or sister's mind. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know what they've been through. I don't know what they've seen. I do not know what they've just experienced. Listen. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. Judge not the matter before you hear it. Hear it. Pray about it. Think about it. Slow to speak. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. Our nature is to be angry. That's why Peter said, let not the sun go down upon thy wrath. There's a way to keep it from happening. Swift to hear, slow to speak. Prayer. This is all in the same chapter. Ask for wisdom. Pray to God. Approach unto God. Approach in faith. Slow to wrath. God in Christ forgave us. By nature, convicted sinners, each and every one, worthy of death and hell and the lake of fire which shall never end. But God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. Shall we not forgive each other? Is God not glorified when His love within us causes us to forgive each other? For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You see these Islam devils killing people in the Middle East, that's the wrath of man. That's not the will of God. Just like the Apostle Paul, they call themselves doing the Lord's work. They do not know God. They may before they die. God's got a people from every people. He's got some carried away in Islam, I guarantee you. And they will be delivered. It may be at the point of death, but they will. But the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Let's bring this down to a level we can relate with. Because we're talking about worshiping God and making disciples. That is our job. That is our duty. Your brother gets mad at the brother. In anger, everybody gets mad at the brother. One side or the other. I've seen this happen. One side goes over here, one side goes over here. Where's the profit to the church? No, not at all. Yet rather perdition. It's the wrath of man. Forgive, because love covers a multitude of sins. Christ forgave us. He said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. James says in the next chapter, I believe that mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Our judgment, whether husband and wife and children or whether church, is to love and forgive and pray and love each other as God for Christ's sake forgave us. Wherefore, lay apart, put aside all filthiness, that's of the flesh, and superfluity of naughtiness, that means abundance of naughtiness, abundance of sin by our nature, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Well, you see there, preacher, you're supposed to receive him. That's not what he's saying. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth. And I'm not going to take the time to get into that with just a few minutes left, but I want you to understand what he's talking about is following the lead of the Spirit of God when you've been given grace and you realize these things and it's been revealed unto you and God has given you life and you've taken up your cross and you've been baptized and you've come into the church and you lay all these things aside and daily take up your cross, denying self, serving God. Receive with meekness, humbleness, one to another. The lead of the Spirit. What's engrafted within you? The Spirit of God. What leads you? The Spirit of God. He said, for I will guide thee with mine eye. His eye, His Spirit. Receive it with meekness, engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. You're saved to heaven in immortal glory. The Lord told you that. Nothing can take you away. And more so proved it by the gospel. So what's the saving of the souls? It's temporal salvation of living in this world. And having a kingdom. Because this is written to disciples. And walking with God. As individuals. For God is your personal Savior. And walking with God as a body. As a people. As a congregation, as a church, as children of God.
Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.